There are three components to the law of least effort. Three things you can do to put this principle of do less and accomplish more into action. The first component is acceptance. Acceptance simply means that you make a commitment. Today, I will accept people, situations, circumstances, and events as they occur. This means I will know that this moment is as it should be, because the whole universe is as it should be. This moment, the one you're experiencing right now, is the culmination of all the moments you have experienced in the past. And this moment is as it is because the entire universe is as it is. When you struggle against this moment, you're actually struggling against the entire universe. Instead, you can make the decision that today you will not struggle against the whole universe by struggling against this moment. This means that your acceptance of this moment is total and complete. You accept things as they are, not as you wish they were in this moment. Having accepted things as they are, you then take responsibility for your situation and for all the events you see as problems. This is the second component of the law of least effort, responsibility. What does responsibility mean? Responsibility means not blaming anyone or anything for your situation. Having accepted this circumstance, this event, this problem, responsibility then means the ability to have a creative response to the situation as it is now. All problems contain the seeds of opportunity, and this awareness allows you to take the moment and transform it to a better situation or thing. The third component of the law of least effort is defenselessness, which means that your awareness is established in defenselessness, and you relinquish the need to convince or persuade others of your point of view. If you observe people around you, you'll see that they spend 99.9% of their time defending their point of view. If you just relinquish the need to defend your point of view, in that relinquishment, you will have access to enormous amounts of energy that has been previously wasted. When you become defensive, blame others, and do not accept and surrender to the moment, then your life meets resistance. Anytime you encounter resistance, recognize that if you force the situation, the resistance will only increase. You don't want to stand rigid like a tall oak that cracks and collapses in the storm. Instead, you want to be flexible. You want to be like a reed that bends with the storm and survives. When you have the exquisite combination of acceptance, responsibility, and defenselessness, you will experience life flowing with effortless ease. Commit to follow the path of no resistance, which is the path through which nature's intelligence unfolds spontaneously, without friction or effort. Remain open to all points of view, not rigidly attached to only one. If you do this, your dreams and desires will flow with nature's desires. Then you can release your intentions without attachment and just wait for the appropriate season for your desires to blossom into reality. You can be sure that when the season is right, your desires will manifest. This then is the principle of least effort.
Applying the law of least effort.
I will put the law of least effort into effect by making a commitment to take the following steps. 1. I will practice acceptance. Today, I will accept people, situations, circumstances, and events as they occur. I will know that this moment is as it should be, because the whole universe is as it should be. I will not struggle against the whole universe by struggling against this moment. My acceptance is total and complete. I accept things as they are, this moment, not as I wish they were. 2. Having accepted things as they are, I will take responsibility for my situation and for all those events I see as problems. I know that taking responsibility means not blaming anyone or anything for my situation, and this includes myself. I also know that every problem is an opportunity in disguise. And this alertness to opportunities allows me to take this moment and transform it into a greater benefit. 3. Today my awareness will remain established in defenselessness. I will relinquish the need to defend my point of view. I will feel no need to convince or persuade others to accept my point of view. I will remain open to all points of view and not be rigidly attached to any one of them. The fifth spiritual law of success is the law of intention and desire. This law is based on the fact that energy and information exist everywhere in nature. In fact, there is nothing other than energy and information at the level of the quantum field. And the quantum field is just another label for the field of pure consciousness or pure potentiality. And this quantum field is influenced by intention, by desire. Let's examine this process in detail. A flower, a rainbow, a tree, a blade of grass, a human body, when broken down to their essential components, are energy and information. The whole universe, in its essential nature, is the movement of energy and information. The only difference between you and a tree is the difference between the energy and informational content in that energy at the level of the quantum field. On the material level, both you and the tree are made up of the same recycled elements, mostly carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, and the other elements in minute amounts. You could buy these in a hardware store for a couple of dollars. The difference, therefore, between you and the tree is not the carbon or the hydrogen or the oxygen. In fact, you and the tree are constantly exchanging your carbon and oxygen with each other. The real difference between the two of you is in the energy and in the information. In the scheme of nature, you and I are a privileged species. We have a nervous system that is capable of becoming aware of the energy and information content of that localized field that gives rise to our physical body. We experience this quantum field. We experience it subjectively as our own thoughts, feelings, emotions, desires, memories, instincts, drives, beliefs. The same quantum field that we experience as our thoughts and feelings and emotions and desires subjectively, we experience it objectively as the physical body. And through the physical body, we experience the same quantum field as the world. But it's all really the same stuff. And that is why the ancient seers exclaimed, "I am that, you are that, all this is that, that's all there is." Your body is not separate from the body of the universe, because at quantum mechanical levels, there are no well-defined edges. You're like a wiggle, a wave, a fluctuation, a convolution, a tide, a whirlpool, a localized disturbance in the larger quantum field. The larger quantum field, the universe, is your extended body. Not only is the human nervous system capable of becoming aware of the information and energy of its own quantum field, but because human consciousness is infinitely flexible through this wonderful nervous system that we have, you are able to consciously change the informational content that gives rise to your body. And by consciously changing the energy and informational content of your own quantum mechanical body, you can influence the energy and informational content of your extended body, your environment, your world, and therefore cause things to manifest in it. This conscious change is brought about by the two qualities inherent in consciousness, attention and intention. Attention energizes, and intention transforms. Whatever you put your attention on will grow stronger in your life. Whatever you take your attention away from will wither, disintegrate, and disappear. Intention, on the other hand, triggers transformation of energy and information. Intention is the real power behind desire. It is actually desire without attachment to the outcome. The quality of intention on the object of attention will orchestrate an infinity of space-time events to bring about the outcome intended, provided one follows the other spiritual laws of success. This is because intention on the fertile ground of attention has infinite organizing power. Infinite organizing power means the power to organize an infinity of space-time events all at the same time. We see the expression of this infinite organizing power in every blade of grass, in every apple blossom, in every cell of our body, in everything that is alive. What is remarkable about the nervous system of the human species is that it can command this infinite organizing power through conscious intent. Intent in the human species is not fixed or locked into a rigid network of energy and information. It has infinite flexibility. In other words, as long as you do not violate the other laws of nature, through your intent, you can literally command the laws of nature to fulfill your dreams and desires. You can literally put the cosmic computer with its infinite organizing power to work for you. The only caution is that you use your intent for the benefit of mankind. And that happens spontaneously when you are in alignment with the seven spiritual laws of success. Intention lays the groundwork for the effortless, spontaneous, frictionless flow of pure potentiality seeking expression from the unmanifest to the manifest. Intention combined with detachment leads to life-centered, present-moment awareness. This is how intention makes action powerful. When action is performed in present-moment awareness, it is most effective. The past, present, and future are all properties of consciousness. The past is recollection, remembering, memory. The future is anticipation. The present is awareness. Therefore, time is the movement of thought. Both past and future are born in the imagination. Only the present, which is awareness, is real and eternal. It is. It is the potentiality of space-time, matter, and energy. It is an eternal field of possibilities, experiencing itself as abstract forces, whether they be light, heat, electricity, magnetism, or gravity. These forces are neither in the past nor in the future. They just are. Our interpretation of these abstract forces gives us the experience of concrete phenomena and form. Remembered interpretations of abstract forces create the experience of the past. Anticipatory interpretations of the same abstract forces create the future. They are the qualities of attention in consciousness. And when the quality of attention in consciousness is freed from the burden of the past, then action in the present becomes the fertile ground for the creation of the future. Intention, grounded in this detached freedom of the present, then serves as the catalyst for the right mix of matter, energy, and space-time events to create whatever it is that we desire. One pointed intention is that quality of attention that is unbending in its fixity of purpose. One pointed intention means to hold your attention to the outcome that's intended with such unbending purpose that you absolutely refuse to put your attention on obstacles. There is a total and complete exclusion of all obstacles. And if you have life-centered present-moment awareness, then the imaginary obstacles, which are more than 90% of perceived obstacles, disintegrate and disappear. The remaining 5 to 10% of perceived obstacles can be transmuted into opportunities through intention. When you learn to harness the power of intention, you can create anything you desire. Intention generates its own power when you follow the following 5 steps for fulfilling your desires. Number 1. Slip into the gap. This means to center yourself in that silent space between thoughts, to go into the silence, that level of being, which is your essential state. Number 2. Established in that state of being, release your intentions and desires. Number 3. Remain in the state of self-referral. This means remain established in the awareness of your true self, your spirit, your connection to the field of pure potentiality. This means not looking at yourself through the eyes of the world, therefore not being influenced by the opinions and criticism of others. A very helpful way to maintain that state of self-referral is also to keep your desires to yourself, to keep them your own private secret, not share them with anyone else unless they share the exact same desires that you have and are closely bonded with you. Number 4, relinquish your attachment to the outcome. And number 5, let the universe handle the details. Intention, when released in the gap, has infinite organizing power. Trust that infinite organizing power of intention to orchestrate all the details for you. Remember that your true nature is that of pure spirit. Carry the consciousness of your spirit wherever you go. Gently release your desires, and the universe will handle the details for you.
Applying the law of intention and desire.
I will put the law of intention and desire into effect by making a commitment to take the following steps. 1. I will make a list of all my desires. I will carry this list with me wherever I go. I shall look at this list before I go into my silence and meditation. I will look at it before I go to sleep at night. I will look at it when I wake up in the morning. 2. I will release this list of my desires and surrender it to the womb of creation, trusting that when things don't seem to go my way, there's a reason, and that the cosmic plan has designs for me much grander than even those that I have conceived. 3. Today I will remain established in self-referral. I will not be influenced by the opinions and criticisms of the world. I will not look at myself through the eyes of others. The 6th spiritual law of success is the law of detachment. The law of detachment says that in order to acquire anything in the physical universe, you have to relinquish your attachment to it. This doesn't mean you give up the intention to create your desire. You don't give up the intention, and you don't give up the desire. You give up your attachment to the result. This is a very powerful thing to do. You still have the intention, one-pointed intention, one-pointed desire, but you relinquish your attachment to the result. And the moment you relinquish your attachment to the result, combining one-pointed intention with detachment at the same time, you will have that which you desire. The source of wealth, of abundance, of anything in the world is the self. It is the consciousness that knows how to fulfill a need. Everything else is a symbol. Cars and houses and banknotes and clothes and airplanes, these are symbols. Symbols are transitory. They come and go. Chasing symbols is like settling for the map instead of the territory. It creates anxiety. It ends up making you feel hollow and empty inside because you exchange yourself for the symbols of yourself. Anything that exists in the physical universe can be acquired by relinquishing your attachment to it. Attachment comes from poverty consciousness because attachment is always to symbols. Detachment is synonymous with wealth consciousness because with detachment, there is freedom to create. Then the symbols of wealth are created spontaneously and effortlessly. Only from detached involvement can one have joy and laughter. Without detachment, we are prisoners of helplessness, hopelessness, mundane needs, trivial concerns, quiet desperation, and seriousness, the distinctive features of everyday mediocre existence and poverty consciousness. People are constantly seeking security. Even attachment to money is a sign of insecurity. And you will find that this seeking of security is actually a very ephemeral thing. You might say, when I have X million dollars, then I'll be secure. Then I'll be financially independent and I will retire. Then I will do all the things I really want to do. But it never happens. Never happens. The need for security is based on not knowing the true self. Those who seek security chase it for a lifetime without ever finding it. It remains elusive and ephemeral because security can never come from money alone. Attachment to money will always create insecurity, no matter how much money you have in the bank. In fact, some of the people who have the most money are the most insecure. True wealth consciousness is the ability to have anything you want, anytime you want, and with least effort. To be grounded in this experience, you have to be grounded in the wisdom of uncertainty. In this uncertainty, you will find freedom to create anything you want. Security and certainty are a result of rigid attachment to the known. However, the known is nothing other than the prison of past conditioning. Uncertainty, on the other hand, is the fertile ground of pure creativity and freedom. Uncertainty is the same thing as stepping into the unknown in every moment of our existence. The unknown is the field of all possibilities, ever fresh, ever new, always open to the creation of new manifestations. Without uncertainty and the unknown, life is just the stale repetition of outworn memories. You become the victim of the past, and your tormentor today is yourself, left over from yesterday. The search for security is an illusion. In Vedic wisdom, the answer to this whole search is what we call the wisdom of insecurity, or the wisdom of uncertainty, which means that this search for security is actually an attachment to the known. And what's the known? The known is our past. It's just the prison of past conditioning. There's no evolution in that. Absolutely no evolution at all. And when there is no evolution, there is stagnation, entropy, disorder, and decay. Relinquish your attachment to the known. Step into the unknown, and you will step into the field of all possibilities. In your willingness to step into the unknown, you will have the wisdom of uncertainty factored in. And this means that in every moment of your life, you will have excitement, adventure, mystery. You will experience the fun of life and have an exuberance and zest for living. Every day, you can look for the excitement of what may occur in that field of all possibilities. When you experience uncertainty, you are on the right path. So don't give it up. You don't need to have any idea of what you'll be doing next week or next year, because if you have a very clear idea of what's going to happen and you get rigidly attached to it, then you shut out a whole range of possibilities. One characteristic of the field of all possibilities is infinite correlation. The field can orchestrate an infinity of space-time events to bring about the outcome that is intended. But when you are attached, your intention gets locked into a rigid mindset and you lose the fluidity, the creativity, and the spontaneity inherent in the field. When you get attached, you freeze your desire from that infinite fluidity and flexibility into a rigid framework which interferes with the whole process of creation. Now, this doesn't take away from the law of intention, from goal setting. It's simply saying that you want to go in that direction, you have this goal, but between point A and point B, there's an infinity of possibilities. With uncertainty factored in, you might change direction in any moment if you find a higher ideal or if you find something more exciting. And you're also less likely to force solutions on problems, which enables you to stay alert to opportunities. That's the whole process of evolution. You don't force solutions. When you force solutions on problems, you only create new problems. But when you put your attention on the uncertainty and you witness the uncertainty while you expectantly wait for the solution to emerge out of the chaos and the confusion, then what emerges is something very fabulous, something very exciting. This state of alertness, your preparedness in the present, in the field of uncertainty, meets with your goal and your intention and allows you to seize the opportunity. What's the opportunity? It's contained within every problem that you have in your life. Every single problem that you have in your life is the seed of an opportunity for some greater benefit in your life. And when you have that perception, you open up to a whole range of possibilities. And this keeps the mystery, the wonder, the excitement, the adventure alive. You can look upon every problem that you have in your life as an opportunity for some greater benefit. You stay alert to opportunities by being grounded in the wisdom of uncertainty. And when your preparedness meets opportunity, the solution will spontaneously appear. What comes out of that is called good luck. Good luck is nothing but preparedness and opportunity coming together. When the two are mixed together, with an alert witnessing of the chaos, a solution emerges that will be of evolutionary benefit to you and to all those that you come into contact with. This, then, is the perfect recipe for success, and it is based on the law of detachment.
Applying the law of detachment.
I will put the law of detachment into effect by making a commitment to take the following steps. 1. Today I will commit myself to detachment. I will allow myself and those around me the freedom to be as they are. I will not rigidly impose my idea of how things should be. I will not force solutions on problems, thereby creating new problems. I will participate in everything with detached involvement. 2. Today I will factor in uncertainty as an essential ingredient of my experience. In my willingness to accept uncertainty, solutions will spontaneously emerge out of the problem, out of the confusion, disorder, and chaos. The more uncertain things seem to be, the more secure I will feel, because uncertainty is my path to freedom. Through the wisdom of insecurity, I will find my security. 3. I will step into the field of all possibilities and anticipate the excitement that can occur when I remain open to an infinity of choices. When I step into the field of all possibilities, I will experience all the fun, adventure, and mystery of life. And the seventh spiritual law of success is the law of Dharma, spelt D-H-A-R-M-A. Dharma is a Sanskrit word that means purpose in life. The law of Dharma says that we have taken manifestation in physical form to fulfill a purpose. The field of pure potentiality is divinity in its essence, and the divine takes human form to fulfill a purpose. According to this law, you have a unique talent and a unique way of expressing it. There is something that you can do better than anyone else in the whole world. And for every unique talent and unique expression of that talent, there are also unique needs. When these needs are matched with the creative expression of your talent, that is the spark that creates affluence. Expressing your talents to fulfill needs creates unlimited wealth and abundance. If you could start children right from the beginning with this thought, you'd see the effect it has on their lives. In fact, I did this with my own children. Again and again I told them there was a reason why they were here, and they had to find out what that reason was for themselves. From the age of 4 years, they heard this. When they were about the same age, I also taught them to meditate, and I told them, I never ever want you to worry about making a living. In fact, I can tell you that if you're unable to make a living when you grow up, I'll provide for you, so don't worry about that. I don't want you to focus on doing well in school. I don't want you to focus on getting the best grades or going to the best colleges. What I really want you to focus on is to ask yourself how you can serve humanity, and to ask yourself, what are your unique talents? Because you have a unique talent that no one else has, and you have a special way of expressing that talent, and no one else has it. They ended up, of course, going to the best schools and getting the best grades, and even in college, they are unique in that they're making a lot of money right now because they're focused on what they are here to give. This, then, is the law of Dharma. There are three components to the law of Dharma. The first component says that each of us is here to discover our true self, to find out on our own that our true self is spiritual, that essentially we are spiritual beings that have taken manifestation in physical form. We are not human beings that have occasional spiritual experiences. It's the other way around. We are spiritual beings that have occasional human experiences. That's the first fulfillment of the law of Dharma. And each of us is here to discover our higher self or our spiritual self. We must find out for our own self that inside us is a god or goddess in embryo that wants to be born so that we can express our divinity. The second component of the law of Dharma is to express your unique talents. The law of Dharma says that every human being that is alive has a unique talent. You have a talent that is unique in its expression, so unique that there's no one else alive on this planet that has that talent or that expression of that talent. Which means that there's one thing you can do and one way of doing it that is better than anyone else on this entire planet. And when you're doing that one thing, you lose track of time. When you're expressing that one unique talent that you possess, or maybe more than one unique talent in many cases, the expression of that talent takes you into timeless awareness, and you lose track of time. The third component of the law of Dharma is service to humanity, to serve your fellow human beings, and to ask yourself the questions, how can I help? How can I help all those that I come into contact with? When you combine the ability to express your unique talent with service to humanity, then you make full use of the law of Dharma. And coupled with the experience of your own spirituality, the field of pure potentiality, there is no way you will not have access to unlimited abundance, because that is the real way abundance is achieved. This is not a temporary abundance, it's permanent. Because of your unique talent, your way of expressing it, and your service and dedication to your fellow human beings through asking the question, how can I help, instead of asking the question, what's in it for me? The question, what's in it for me, is the internal dialogue of the ego. Asking, how can I help, is the internal dialogue of the spirit. Why? Because the spirit is that domain of your awareness where you experience your universality. And so, in just shifting your internal dialogue from what's in it for me to how can I help, you automatically go beyond the ego into the domain of your spirit. While meditation is the most useful way of entering the domain of the spirit, shifting your internal dialogue to how can I help will also access the spirit, that domain of your awareness where you experience your universality. If you want to make maximum use of the law of Dharma, then you have to make several commitments. The first commitment is this: I am going to seek my higher self, which is beyond my ego. And I'm going to do that through spiritual practice. Secondly, I'm going to discover my unique talents. And finding my unique talents, I'm going to enjoy myself, because the process of enjoyment occurs when I go into timeless awareness. That's when I'm in a state of bliss. And the third commitment is, I'm going to ask myself how I am best suited to serve humanity. I'm going to answer that question and then put it into practice. I'm going to use my unique talents to serve the needs of my fellow human beings. I will match them to my desire to help and serve others. And you literally sit down and make a list of the answers to these two questions. Ask yourself, if money was of no concern and you had all the time and money in the world, what would you do? If you would still do what you currently do, then you are in Dharma, because you have passion for what you do. You're expressing your unique talents. Then ask yourself, how am I best suited to serve humanity? Answer that question and put it into practice. Discover your divinity, find your unique talent, serve humanity with it, and you can generate all the wealth that you want. When your creative expressions match the needs of your fellow humans, then wealth spontaneously flows from the unmanifest into the manifest, from the realm of the spirit to the world of form.
Applying the law of Dharma, or purpose in life.
I will put the law of Dharma into effect by making a commitment to take the following steps. 1. I will spend time in silence every day to get in touch with my higher spiritual self. By experiencing my higher self, I will experience the law of pure potentiality. I will set aside 30 minutes in the morning and 30 minutes in the evening. I need not do anything. I will just listen, and the world will freely offer itself to me. 2. I will make a list of my unique talents. Then I will list 3 things that I love to do while expressing my talents. When I express my unique talents and use them in the service of humanity, I lose track of time and create abundance in my life as well as the lives of others. 3. I will ask myself daily, how can I serve and how can I help? The answers to these questions will allow me to help and serve my fellow human beings with love. The 7 spiritual laws of success are powerful principles that will enable you to attain self-mastery. If you put your attention on these laws and practice the steps outlined above, you will see that you can manifest anything you want, all the affluence, money, and success that you want. You will also see that your life becomes more joyful and abundant in every way. For these laws are also the spiritual laws of life that make living worthwhile. There is a natural sequence for the application of these laws in your daily life that may help you to remember them. The law of pure potentiality is experienced through silence, through meditation, through non-judgment, through communion with nature. But it is activated by the law of giving. And the principle here is to learn to give that which you seek. That's how you activate the law of pure potentiality. If you seek affluence, give it. If you seek money, give money. If you seek love, appreciation, and affection, then learn to give love, appreciation, and affection. Through your actions in the law of giving, you activate your karma. You create good karma, and good karma makes everything easy. You notice that you don't have to expend a lot of effort to fulfill your desires, which automatically leads to an understanding of the law of least effort. And when everything is easy and effortless, and your desires keep getting fulfilled, you spontaneously begin to understand the law of intention and desire. This then makes it easy for you to practice the law of detachment. Finally, as you begin to understand all the above laws, you begin to focus on your true purpose in life, which leads to the law of dharma. And through the use of this law, by expressing your unique talents and fulfilling the needs of your fellow humans, you will create unlimited wealth, abundance, and joy in your life. We are travelers on a cosmic journey, stardust swirling and dancing in the eddies and whirlpools of infinity. Life is eternal, but the expressions of life are ephemeral, momentary, transient. Gautama Buddha, the founder of Buddhism, once said, "This existence of ours is as transient as autumn clouds." To watch the birth and death of beings is like looking at the movements of a dance. A lifetime is like a flash of lightning in the sky, rushing by like a torrent down a steep mountain. We have stopped for a moment to encounter each other, to meet, to love, to share. This is a precious moment, but it is transient. It is a little parenthesis in eternity. If we share with caring, lightheartedness, and love, we will create abundance and joy for each other. And then this moment will have been worthwhile.
We hope you have enjoyed this presentation. If you would like a free catalog featuring other books and audio cassettes by Deepak Chopra, please contact Amber Allen New World Library at 1-800-227-3900.